The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
This is position as the front runner.
Yeah. As you look at the race and you look at the ups and downs and the ebb and flow, and you've been around this game for longer than you probably want to admit, and it's hard to see into the future, all right? So if the polls are right in Wisconsin, still Ted Cruz needs 86% of remaining delegates. You mentioned John Kasich. John Kasich needs 117%. For him to get the nomination, he has to have a convention floor fight, a contested convention, where he's going to have to leapfrog over two candidates that have more votes, won more states, and have more delegates. Now, if that happens, don't you think the people that he leapfrogs over and their supporters are going to be pretty angry?
Well, it depends. I mean, if the Trump delegates almost get there but fail, they may decide they like Kasich more than Cruz. If the Cruz delegates almost get there but fail, they may decide they like Kasich more than they like Cruz. I mean, you know, Abraham Lincoln was picked on the third ballot. So it's not necessarily that the Kasich's crazy, but it is unlikely. And what you're watching right now is a fascinating moment. All of the strengths that brought Donald Trump to this amazing position, which none of us, remember, all of us who criticize him and critique him, whether we like him or dislike him, none of us a year ago would have imagined that he is where he is today. All of those strengths now are weaknesses because they're not the characteristics of a potential president. They were the characteristics of an insurgent candidate. So he's got a big challenge. Cruz has a similar challenge. Cruz has got to figure out, because remember, he doesn't just have to get delegates himself. Can he get Marco Rubio's delegates? Could he get John Kasich's delegates? Is there a Cruz-Kasich ticket in the future? I mean, so Cruz has got to play his own game. And as you pointed out, for example, in New York State, Trump is still very, very formidable. He's more than 2-1 ahead of Cruz in New York State, and that is a lot of delegates. So this game isn't over yet. It could have been over, and it should have been over if Trump had moved to the next level. He didn't, and as a result, he's extended this by at least 6 weeks.
Well, here we are. I mean, you know, it's a good question. Sean Hannity and Newt Gingrich going back and forth. Scott, it's interesting how, you know, the Republicans are just dissecting this whole thing. Because I think it's exactly as Newt said. It's interesting, and you can't help but, toss in your perspective on this whole deal. But, you know, sometimes I wonder that with all these, possibilities and, the conversation of, a contested convention and all this good stuff, it makes for fun conversation, let's face it. But it really doesn't build up the unity. I mean, it's our job, but it's like, but is it helping the Republican Party any? I mean, I got to imagine Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Hillary Clinton are sitting back in the corner just kind of chuckling and just saying, these knuckleheads are just doing everything they can to, as Ben Carson says, steal the... still victory from the jaws of defeat, or still defeat from the jaws of victory, I guess.
Yeah, I think Gingrich made a great point with his all the things that people were talking about why they like Trump. Now you got the same people talking about that's not what I like. It's interesting, and Trump has stepped up to the challenge every time so far. And he's been, the Teflon Don, pretty much. So,
to a degree he's been Teflon, but it's also getting to the point. What I'm hearing is people that, said, okay, I can manage. I might be able to consider a Trump, presidency. And about that time, something silly comes out, like abortion, or something that is expressed in a way that's so inartful and non-presidential, and it's like. Well, for every two steps you go forward, you're taking three back here. You're kind of losing ground here, Mr. Donald Trump. and you're causing brain damage to, you know, the voter politic here. So anyway, the conversation will continue, and Donald Trump will continue to be Donald Trump, and we'll have plenty to talk about here. It's just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour, America.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
75 years ago, America suffered one of the worst moments in American history, the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now you can remember December 7th, 1941, with the purchase of the first ever 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-490-3200 right now for the official 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve, the only company authorized to distribute these 100% solid gold coins. Remember Pearl Harbor with this limited official gold release. 1-800-490-3200 or online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound?
It's Bill Martinez. Good to have you along with us, America. Just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's exactly where you want to go. And if you want to drop me an email, it comes to me direct, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. With us right now, Alex Epstein, founder and president of the Center for Industrial Progress. He attended the People's Climate March in New York. This was quite a while ago, if I remember correctly, Alex, when you attended that. You are the author of the forthcoming book, The Moral Case for Fossil Fuels, as well. Alex Epstein on Bill Martinez Live. That People's Climate March was it last year?
Yeah, this description needs to be changed. I don't know where I came from. Yeah, well, that was in 2014, and the book Moral Case for Fossil Fuels has been out for over a year. So don't let its alleged future status dissuade you. Go get it at moralcaseforfossilfuels.com.
Exactly. Well, they need to be informed. I mean, with all the conversation, especially in this political season, about fossil fuels and the important part it plays in our future, this will, you know, help congeal and give them the information that they need to have, the moral case for fossil fuels. But, you know, what I wanted to discuss with you was your article and why green energy means no energy.
Yeah, well, if you look at the people who advocate green energy, which is really the green movement, and led by or represented by these organizations like Greenpeace and Sierra Club and 350.org, you'll notice something striking about which sources of energy they oppose, and that is that they oppose every practical form of energy. Mm. So you might say, oh, well, they just hate fossil fuels because they know that fossil fuels are going to cause some sort of climate Armageddon. Well, that's not true, but let's say they believe that. Well, then why do they oppose nuclear power, which emits no CO2, and why do they oppose hydroelectric power, which emits no CO2, despite the fact that these are incomparably superior sources of energy in terms of being cheap, plentiful, and reliable, to solar and wind? Why is it that they only support these sources of energy that deal with these very diluted and very unreliable natural inputs that in practice are incredibly ineffective and are really just parasites? They only exist because they're supported by real sources of energy that you can actually control on demand.
Well, when you think about the greater picture, as you say, Alex, 7 billion people in the world need cheap, plentiful, and reliable energy to flourish. I mean, let's start at the beginning. That's the foundation of it all, isn't it?
Yeah, and so that's why it's very problematic. I mean, that's an understatement. If you have a group of people who are opposing every form of energy that could help them with that. So then we should ask the question, well, what's what's going on here. And what's going on is that if we look into the very philosophy of being green, it means to minimize human impact on the planet. And if you really take that seriously, if you really want to minimize our impact on the planet, then you're going to be against any form of practical energy, because the very thing energy allows us to do is change the planet in all sorts of different ways. So the only form of energy that the environmentalists will support is imaginary energy, because that has the least impact.
Alex, I don't, you know, I mean, this almost sounds conspiratorial, but let me ask you anecdotally, I mean, is this like a, even come down to like a population control kind of mindset here?
Oh, of course. I mean, this was more explicit in the 70s, but I believe in taking people's ideas seriously. So if they say, I want to minimize impact, human impact on the planet, that means they want to dehumanize the planet, literally. That means minimize human presence. Well, how do you minimize human presence? You minimize the number of human bodies. So they, you know, they call it population control. It's, you know, population genocide more accurately. But yeah, they think that human beings are bad and unnatural, and I think that human beings are the best part of nature. And so we fundamentally have to decide, with regard to our view of nature and environment, are we pro-human or anti-human? And I'm a humanist, and I'm, you know, my organization and I are working to create a humanist movement, but the dominant environmental approach today is anti-human. It says that we are bad for nature. We are the worst part of nature. We should apologize. We should shrink down. We should stop using fossil fuels. We should stop using nuclear. And I think that's a species with low self-esteem that is ultimately going to be suicidal.
Yeah, it's one that says that there's never enough. I mean, what, with 7 billion people in the world, by their calculation, what do they think the world can manage?
Well, or you know, can manage or should manage. You hear different kinds of estimates. These are they all have no basis in terms of reality, because human beings can produce far more resources than we need for 7 billion people if we were free to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Ted Turner, even a beneficiary of capitalism, if ever there was one, said that his figure was, I believe it maxed out at 300 million.
Well, that's the United States, 300 million.
Not even.
Yeah. I mean, what are we, 320 now? So we've already busted that particular theory, but that's the case time and time again. As you say, a lot of this lies in the theoretical, and you look for evidence. And, you know, for me, I'm an empiricist. I want to see the facts, and I'm not seeing the facts to support, you know, their premise. And right now, the reality is 3 billion people have virtually no energy by our standards. Over a billion have no electricity whatsoever, you write. You know, Alex, we've got a long ways to go, and you imagine what this world would be like if we could provide the basic necessities for, you know, almost half the world here.
Yeah, and so the keys here are energy, and then underlying that, freedom, because the nations need the freedom to produce it and to have good economies in general. But we also need the freedom to produce energy. Now, we can produce a lot of cheap coal that could help a lot of people, but what are the Greens in the United States say? They don't say, oh, that's a good thing by giving people the energy of life. They say, no, it's evil to produce dirty coal. You're ruining the third world. Well, I don't know what it means to ruin something when life expectancies are skyrocketing in these coal-powered countries. But it all comes back in my mind to, you mentioned the theoretical. Well, there's a moral theory that says that human beings shouldn't change anything in our environment. And that's that, if you look empirically at what that means in practice, it means human beings suffer and die unnecessarily. That's why my moral theory is human beings should maximize their well-being on this planet, and we should change lots of things to make nature better, because nature doesn't give us a good standard of living. We need to create one, and that means transformation.
Well, last time I checked, we were told to be fruitful and multiply, and in that aspect of fruitfulness, that really has an implication of, you know, development and advancement to what you're suggesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's a religious source. I myself am not religious, but I think the basic premise of be fruitful, but also, you know, be fruitful is particularly important if you're multiplying. And, you know, there are other passages of the Bible that talk about the relationship between man and the other species. And again, I'm not religious at all, but it's definitely the proper perspective that if you are a human being and want to survive and be happy, you have to take the you have to take the position that it's human beings that come first.
Exactly.
You care about other aspects of nature in relation to human beings, but you can't say, well, my daughter and a polar bear, those are of the same value.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Our conversation with Alex Epstein continues. He's the president of the Center for Industrial Progress. Why green energy means no energy. The conversation continues on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez live.
Miracles are God's way of letting us know He's here.
From the producers of Heaven is for Real, Miracles from Heaven.
Mommy! I'm coming!
Unfortunately, the test confirmed that she's very ill. There is currently no cure for Anna's condition.
We're not giving up.
Based on the incredible true story.
We need a solution.
And we'll get it.
How?
By not losing our faith.
This Easter.
So you're telling me that when this baby girl fell 30 feet, she hit her head just right and it healed her?
Yes.
That's impossible.
How do we explain the impossible?
He told me I'd be fine.
Who told you you'd be fine?
Miracles from Heaven, starring Jennifer Garner. Now playing. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. For tickets and showtimes, go to miraclesfromheaven-movie.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com or 800-544-3533.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
December 7, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live. So wake me up when
it's all over. We just hear our conversation of why green energy means no energy. We continue our visit with the one and only Alex Epstein, founder and president of the Center for Industrial Progress. Alex, update us, because the bio information I had on you was a little bit outdated, referred to 2014. Update us on what's happening now in 2016 for you.
Well, you know, the book, The Moral Case for Fossil Fuels, is very central to what I'm doing and to this conversation, because the moral and moral case for fossil fuels means human. So my focus is on creating a humanist movement, one that looks at all of these industrial and environmental issues from the perspective of what's going to maximize human well-being versus the dominant perspective of what's going to minimize human impact and ultimately human well-being. Mm-hmm. Because if you minimize human impact, you minimize human well-being. So if people want to learn more about that, our website is industrialprogress.com, and I highly recommend that people just enter in their email and sign up for our mailings, because, you know, we have different articles every week that like this one, that will show you, with all the issues that come up in the day, how to take a human-focused look at things. And if you don't take a human-focused look at things, then you're not going to get a human-benefiting result.
Yeah, because the opposite side is pretty good at wordsmithing and making it sound good, but you've got to break through the code and understand what they're communicating to us, right?
Yeah, and so another platform people like is Twitter, which I'm on at Alex Epstein, E-P-S-T-E-I-N. And if you look at my Twitter feed, a lot of what I do is I try to reword and reframe the way things are discussed, because just about every term you hear today that's popular and repeated blindly is a wrong way of thinking about things. So we could talk about green energy, sustainability, renewability, clean energy. These are all just deceptive terms that are taking us all, efficiency, are taking our eye off the ball of what's best for human beings. So if my standard is maximizing human well-being and human progress, then I'll think of everything from that perspective. But, you know, otherwise what can happen is somebody can say, well, I want to have the most efficient house possible, and that means I'm going to have no ventilation.
Right.
Well, is that a good idea? No, not if you care about human life. But if your goal is to just have people use no energy, then yeah, that's efficient. And if your goal is for people to die more frequently, that's more efficient.
Exactly. And die with all sorts of additional disease complications that would come into play as well. Alex, you touched on something, and I want to go back just a little bit and talk about the issue of freedom. You know, to me, that is the ultimate experience that we could have on this planet as human beings, is to truly be free to exercise. I know that you're not necessarily a spiritual person, but I always frame it in such a way is that we should exercise our God-given gifts and right.
Well, yeah, I would say I'm a very spiritual person in the sense of believing in ideals and morality. I just have philosophy, not religion. But that goes to the question of, are rights a legitimate concept, or are they one you can only believe in if you have faith in something? And I think they're absolutely a legitimate moral concept. What is it to say something is a right? It's to say this is the proper principle that should govern our social interaction, and in particular the use of force by governments. Can you tell me there's no objective moral difference between the government prescribed by Thomas Jefferson and the government implemented by Adolf Hitler? No. One is right for human beings because it promotes their well-being, and one is wrong for human beings. So as long as you care about your own life, you can say morally certain things are right and certain things are wrong. And if you don't care about human life or your own life, then you can't say anything meaningful, because who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're not necessarily focused on the point in terms of humanity and human advancement, and I agree with you. You know, for many decades, the ultimate energy fantasy has been what's called nuclear fusion. Where are we with this, the nuclear fusion?
Well, it's very hard to tell where we are, but the reason I raised it in that article was that in the late 80s, there was this perfect experiment determining what is actually the motive of the Greens, because the Greens are always focused on, when they talk to the public, anti-human consequences of using different forms of energy. So they'll say, well, the reason that I'm against fossil fuels is I want to protect you from the Arctic melting because that's going to flood everything and then you're all drowning. You know, that would be a bad thing if that happened. But my contention is, no, they're not really concerned about that. What they're concerned about is just us changing things, period. They're against industry, period. So perfect way to test that is let's find a form of energy that's completely cheap, that's completely clean, that poses no significant danger, certainly no CO2 issues arise. What if you had the perfect form of energy? And that would be what's called nuclear fusion. Mm-hmm. And there were reports that were inaccurate, but nevertheless, they were believed enough to be commented on about, hey, is this a good thing? And some of the leading Greens at the time said, absolutely not. This is the worst thing that could happen. And you have quotes like, this is like giving an idiot child a machine gun. So think about that.
Yeah,
think about that. Humanity is an idiot child. Now, if humanity is an idiot, what is a bear, a genius, right? So it's just a contempt for
exactly.
human beings. But if an idiot child, a machine gun, the idea is that a human being is a murderer of Earth. So the idea is Earth matters. The rock we live on matters more than we do. And not just, the rock doesn't care, obviously, but it really means that all the other species on the rock matter more than we do. So the idea is, well, we can't gun them down. So that means, you cut a tree down to build a house or to clear area for a road and allow people to live much better. Well, that's evil because you cut down the tree. So we see in this experiment that with the potential of fusion that the Greens are anti-energy. The very notion of green energy is a contradiction. If you want energy that's good for human beings, including good environmentally, good for our health and safety, you should talk about humanitarian energy or life-enhancing energy. But the idea of green, that should be a four-letter word.
Exactly. Well, you quoted Jeremy Rifkin and Paul Ehrlich in that story. The Los Angeles Times wrote, Fear of Fusion, What If It Works, right?
Yeah. And that, credit to the Times that they asked people. Now, I don't know what they were expecting to get, but it's very rare that you can get intellectuals to be honest about their different kinds of views because they hedge. And one of the reasons is if they have anti-human views, they need to dress that up because most people, if you say, hey, do you care about human life? They'll say, yeah. And then if they say, well, hey, what? Guess what? I got a policy for you that's just going to eliminate a bunch of human beings or make them suffer. They're not going to say, sign me up. But
right.
if you say, hey, I'm going to take away this thing that your life depends on and pretend it doesn't really matter because we can just use sunbeams and wind gusts, and then I'm going to claim that it's causing a catastrophe even though I don't have any evidence that there's anything more than a mild change involved, then, you get people scared. That's like what an inconvenient truth does. But and that's why I do the work that I do, is to actually look at all the facts from a human perspective and assemble them for people and show them, no, actually, these people who are telling you that this is food, in terms of that getting rid of fossil fuels is food, that's actually poison. And fossil fuels, which you're taught to think of as poison, no, that's actually food.
Exactly. I mean, this is all the code stuff that's been going on, Alex, for a long time, and it's very measured. It's nothing that is new, very well developed and backed by government, particularly this administration, because they reward that which they want to promote, and they do it with government funding. Quite ironically, they're doing it on the backs of we the people, our money, our taxes, going to this kind of science, supposed.
Well, I don't know why it's ironic. I mean, the whole genesis, people think this must be a conspiracy theory, but if you just look at the genesis of massive government support of quote-unquote climate science, which does deserve to have air quotes around it these days, this is something that was overwhelmingly generated by the fear of a fossil fuel-induced climate catastrophe. So therefore, people were doing research in that field, and guess how many, guess how much interest there was in results that were, hey, guess what? We have a small impact on the global climate system. It's not nearly as big as all the other impacts. It doesn't matter very much. Let's move on and enjoy our lives. Yeah. Like, who's funding that proposal?
Right.
Or that finding? Who's supporting that person? So what you find is the findings, despite the fact that the predictions all come false, the old predictions all come false, so they're all extreme, the new predictions get even more and more extreme.
Right.
Well, how does that make any sense? It only makes sense due to incentives and bias in the system.
Well, that's why we need to stay in touch with your organization, the Center for Industrial Progress. We're out of time, Alex. Remind everybody quickly where they can go to stay in touch.
IndustrialProgress.com and Twitter at Alex Epstein.
Alex Epstein on Bill Martinez. Thank you, Alex.
Miracles are God's way of letting us know He's here.
From the producers of Heaven is for Real, Miracles from Heaven.
Ronnie! I'm coming!
Unfortunately, the test confirmed that she's very ill. There is currently no cure for Anna's condition.
We're not giving up.
Based on the incredible true story.
We need a solution.
And we'll get it.
How?
By not losing our faith.
Like a small boat.
This Easter.
On the ocean. So you're telling me that when this baby girl fell 30 feet, she hit her head just right and it healed her?
Yes. That's impossible.
How do we explain the impossible?
He told me I'd be fine.
Who told you you'd be fine?
Miracles from Heaven, starring Jennifer Garner. Now playing. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. For tickets and showtimes, go to miraclesfromheaven-movie.com.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Destroy harmful bacteria, allergens, bed bugs, dust mites, fleas in your home with a Ladybug steam vapor system. The Ladybug dies deep on surfaces without any toxic residue. Traditional control agents contain toxic chemicals which do more harm than good. Sanitize and disinfect using just water. Quick, fast, and surprisingly easy.
Find out more now by calling 800-997-6584. Ask for Randy. That's 800-997-6584. Or go to advap.com/GCN. That's advap.com/GCN.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Back with you, America. This is Bill Martinez. Good to have you along with us. And with us right now on the phone from Not Dead Number 2, Paul Kuo, who plays Martin Yip. He's appeared in numerous films and TV programs. Also appeared or provided his voice for numerous TV and radio commercials for major international brands. Paul appeared in God's Not Dead and reprises his role as Martin in the sequel. Paul, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Hey, great to have you here. You did a great job. Enjoyed seeing you in God's Not Dead. Was able to see the premiere of God's Not Dead 2, and another great job. It had to be exciting to come back and do it again, huh?
Oh, yeah. I was absolutely excited and thrilled about this second one. It's even better than the first one. I got a chance to really dive deeper into the character's storyline and Martin's struggle with his parents and his life and his faith. And where does that, work within his life? So it was just wonderful. And, of course, it helps when you have wonderful people and an amazing director to work with.
Well, yeah, it's a great storyline. And the part that that you play, is Martin there. This is happening around the world, in all sorts of communities whose children come to know the truth and they have to make a cultural shift, a faith cultural shift that can create some challenges for a family, right?
Hey, absolutely. I actually have some friends who have went through exactly that storyline. One of my friends from high school, she had that exact thing happen. She became a Christian when she was in high school, and her parents were completely against that and was trying to unconvert her and try to get her out of Christianity. So absolutely, it's a thing that happens all around the world all the time.
Well, Paul, what I hear often, it's much like the experience of the blind man who is blind and now sees. And once you have an experience with God and you're confronted with the truth, it is really challenging to, you know, to reverse pivot on it, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, once you see that, once you feel that presence of God, it's really hard to, you know, deny this. You know, it's in there and you feel it. And so, you know, it causes us to want to step up and, you know, take a stand for God. Mm-hmm. That's what this movie, God's Not Dead 2 and God's Not Dead the First One, is about.
Exactly. Well, of course, it opens up nationwide tomorrow, April the 1st. And as you say, God's Not 2, in your opinion, better than God's Not Dead the first time. Let me ask you, how realistic do you think the film is in depicting the challenges of religious liberty in the public square today?
Well, I think it's absolutely very relevant. And, you know, the film in the end lists a long list of court cases that are actually currently happening, that has recently happened on this, in the reality. And so I think, you know, it's definitely something that's happening around the country to different extent in different parts of the country. And so it's something that we should be aware of and we should take note of and not deny this existence.
Well, it's one thing to be aware. The other thing is to have an open conversation about it so that we can responsibly talk about it. Because what happens is we're challenging political correctness. And what I've, you know, said here on the show, Paul, is that when you haven't had the conversation and you start to have it, sometimes the communication can be a little inartful, even though we try to be compassionate and sensitive, but we need to have the conversation. That's more important. So we got to get by the inartfulness and maybe a little bit of the offensive. Just make sure your heart's in the right place. But that conversation is needed for everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think we can do this in a very loving manner. And, you know, I have lots of friends who are not believers, and I talk to you all the time. And, you know, we don't necessarily have to get it resort into violence or anything, you know, in the nastiness of some of the things that happens around the country sometimes, that we can talk. But then it is important, like you said, to talk about this in a Christ-like, loving manner to all the friends and people that we know around us.
Well, it challenges us, Paul, to understand and really apprehend the idea that God is love. If God is love, then we'll project that, right, even in these tough conversations that are so needed in the marketplace.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think, you know, we need to keep in mind and keep our God in our heart and, you know, and love in our heart. And then sharing with people this love and of God and love of Christ, you know, and using that as our way, as our approach and as our springboard. I think, you know, when we do that, we live our life to, you know, to follow, you know, following Jesus in that way, in a loving manner. I think that's very important for us to do. And I think we can definitely achieve that if we just keep that in mind.
Well, I always appreciate God's encouragement that he says he'll contend with those that contend with us. So sometimes we just have to get out of the way and let him deal with it, because he does it in a much more perfect way. You know, Paul, your character, Martin Yip, is one of a handful who returned from the first movie. Tell our audience how Martin's journey is different than, you know, different in God's Not Dead 2.
So in the first God's Not Dead, he's really journeying, struggling with his own, coming to terms with even just the reality of Christianity. And, like, you know, just kind of wondering if there is even a God. That was his journey, trying to make that decision for himself. But now, in this second one, his journey is now past that. Well, once you believe in God, once you believe in Christ, the reality sets in. You have to actually confront the people around you. And so in this second one, Martin really has to deal with the family situation in a head-on manner. Whereas in the first one, he was just alluding to that. The dad's just kind of saying, well, listen to your teacher. Your teacher is right. But now in this second one, it's that, like my friend, like the situation with my friend, where it's not just a matter of talking about it now. Now it's real. Now your parents are completely against it. And they want you to leave God, and they want you to leave Christianity for the family. And shaming you for in those manners. And So Martin has to deal with that struggle, and it's a much more personal, much more serious. There are real things at stake in his life. He may lose everything as a result of this action that he just did in the first one.
Exactly. Well, Paul, your character really connected with the audience. When I sat in the screening, I mean, not only that part that you're alluding to, that confrontation with your father that you had, but along the way, and that is that your sense of inquisitiveness, the questions that you were asking, a lot of people I could sense in the audience were going, wow, you know, those are questions that either they had or they still have.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's one of the most the biggest thing that I connected with my own character, with Martin, is the fact that he's very inquisitive. I'm a very inquisitive person. I love to ask lots of questions, lots of hard questions. I love debating people. It's fun for me because it's fun to learn more. And the more questions we ask, the more we learn. And I think that's one of those things we tend to forget, and we stop asking questions because we're afraid to offend someone because we ask the question, whereas we really should be asking all these hard questions and allow ourselves that opportunity to grow as a person.
Exactly. Well, Paul, one of the interesting products being released in conjunction with this film is a devotional book that I found was quite interesting from Broad Street Publishing called Stand With God. Explain to our audience what Stand With God is all about.
Well, the devotional book is basically a way to kind of get yourself guide you through your, through a 40 days journey that would inspire you and motivate you and challenge you in all sorts of ways. And the one most wonderful thing about this one that makes it really unique is that it takes a lot of the storylines and elements from the story from the first movie and the second movie. So if you haven't seen the movie, don't get it yet. Get the book after you see the movie.
Right, exactly.
You don't want any spoilers in there.
Right.
So that way you get a chance to use some of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead. That way you have a chance to what?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you get a chance to kind of, follow using some of the experiences these characters have and find how they can inspire you in your own day-to-day life.
Well, and as we know, devotional books take you deeper, and they really bring a dimension of the message into play here. You know, Paul, I got to tell you, people ask me, known that I've seen the movie, say, well, do we have to text again? I said, we didn't have to text the first time, but the response was very, very, was most excellent. In fact, I got a text from a six-year-old young girl sent me a text after the first movie. So they said, well, do we have to text again in the second movie? I said, well, you have to see the movie to find out. How's that, huh?
Yes, absolutely. But I think it's one of those texts where I don't think it just should be you shouldn't text because of the movie. You should text because you want to share this message with the people around you. And
without
it's not just about the movie, it's about your faith journey.
Without a doubt. Paul Kuo from the new movie, and the first movie, Paul, God's Not Dead, and now God's Not Dead 2, which opens everywhere on April the 1st. That's Friday, April the 1st, all over. And, Paul, thank you so much for being with us. God bless.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
By now, you know the smart way to buy emergency food storage is calories per dollar. Ready Supply Foods sells you 50% more food for your money. GMO-free, 25-year shelf life, great tasting, and free shipping. You need 2,000 calories per day under ideal conditions. Most 30-day kits don't have enough calories to sustain you for more than a week. They just don't have enough nutrition to do the job. See the comparisons for yourself at ReadySupplyFoods.com. We are the new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly, certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
It's Bill Martinez Live.
You're going to say when you meet your grandmother.
What is this, abuela?
Very good, very good.
What are you going to say, Mommy?
Oh, bonus dies, Maidri.
Bonus dies, Maidri? Honey, it's buenos dias, madre.
I don't think that's very nice, making fun of my Spanish.
Well, you've been making fun of my English for 15 years.
That's different. Spanish is a foreign language.
Well, English is a foreign language to me.
Well, the way you speak it, it is to me, too.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, we're back with you, America. It's just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. It is time for Life with Lauren. Yes, our favorite one to live life with is with us, Lauren Kitchen Steward. Hey, how you doing? April Fool's Day. How you doing?
I know. And see, I'm not that quick like my daughter. I wish I could just throw an April Fool's at you and I should have been ready.
Uh-huh.
But my brain just didn't work like that. Like, I don't remember jokes. Like, people go, tell me a good joke. And I'm like, what's yelling hangs out of trees when he's two? I mean, I don't remember any jokes ever.
So Shani surprised you this morning?
Yes. She's 6 years old. And, of course, I don't even think that she really knows about April Fool's. And mm-hmm. She goes, Mom, there's a bug on your arm. And I'm like, oh, where? And she goes, April Fool's. I went, touche, girl, you got me. So when your six-year-old is more on top of things than you are, not a lot to be said for the day, but I'm all right.
Well, she's a sharp one. You got to watch her. You know, she's going around pinching people on St. Patty's Day. She's already got that down.
She has. And I don't even have anything to do with educating her. So that's why I'm like, where are you learning this stuff?
She's a low-maintenance child. Are you kidding me? This girl's too sharp. You better be careful, I'm telling you.
I know. I've been thinking that. I'm thinking, man, if she's this, you know, this whippet already, what's it going to be like at 12 years of age?
Well, I think she could help Donald Trump. I think, you know, this whole deal, you know, he's coming up with the wrong response, Lauren. I mean, he's got to go April Fool's. You know, I was just kidding about the abortion deal. What do you think?
Well, you know, the whole situation, with the bodyguard. I'm now the bodyguard, the campaign manager, and I don't know why I keep calling him bodyguard in my mind. I guess because he supposedly manhandled her. You know, that whole situation with Michelle Fields and this situation, I'm just kind of at a loss. What he was meaning, and I'm not saying I'm a Trump supporter. You know, I mean, I'm just all about being fair and us being mature as people and looking at the issues that matter. And he was responding, I think, to Chris Matthews saying that if abortion becomes illegal, and then that's what he was saying. I mean, he wasn't just saying it right now. This morning, though, he's coming out saying that's not what I should have said was the doctors performing abortions should be held responsible, not the woman. But, you know, if something becomes illegal, if abortions are outlawed and they're not legal, if you participate in them in any way, then you're breaking the law, right?
Right. Well, of course, you know. But, you know, Judge Scalia would have called this pretzel applesauce, you know, because Chris Matthews got another thrill up his leg by tying, you know, Trump into knots. And the thing is interesting. You remember our friend Hugh Hewitt? Hugh Hewitt tied Donald Trump up a little bit on a legitimate question. I think it was a fair question. Mm-hmm. And yes, heady, because Hugh's heady. He's not a knucklehead. He's a smart guy. And Donald Trump answered it in the typical way they did it, and he got exposed and looked bad, didn't like it, and he took some shots at Hugh on a couple occasions, even on national TV during that last debate.
Yeah,
and
no one listens to your radio show.
Yeah,
no one listens.
Yeah, but what does he do? What does he do with Chris Matthews? Hugh Hewitt's got a bigger audience than Chris Matthews last time I checked. But you know, he doesn't put Chris Matthews down like that. I mean, he's stuck in this bucket of gum doing this slow dance with him. And you're going, oh, my goodness, how painful is this?
It is painful. And I guess it's probably frustrating, you know, for people overall, too, because we're going, okay, someone has got to surface as being a warrior here. And
right.
Someone that's together and someone that cares about the country and can rise above all the fodder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's even fair to qualify it like that, but I know.
No, it is fair because people, Lauren, they're trying to get their brain around Trump, a Trump presidency, and about the time they do, it's two steps forward, three back, and you go, oh my goodness. And then meanwhile, you know, I mean, we can have fun because, you know, we're talk show hosts, so we can have fun with this kind of stuff. The thing is that's scary is you've got the three primary candidates, they're in the tent with a gun firing in circles. You go, put the gun down. You guys are shooting yourself. Meanwhile, Hillary and Bernie Sanders and Debbie Wasserman Schultz are back in the corner with a hot toddy just cracking up and joining themselves. They're going, oh, this is going to be a landslide. We're just going to kill these guys.
I thought that this morning. I thought when all these things came out about Lewandowski and Michelle Fields and the latest with he and Chris Matthews, Hillary's like, hot diggity dog. I mean, that very song crossed my mind this morning. So you're just like, oh, my word. Now, as a woman, I'm different, listening family and Bill, because I'm conservative. I'm a Christian. So that's going to slant my view as far as this whole issue with him. I mean, to me, I'm like, okay, let's move on. But, you know, women that don't believe like I believe, that's really a big deal for them. But like I said, the qualifying issue in that is if something is illegal. Now, I'm not saying he should have gotten into it, but he was saying it was convoluted. We had been talking for hours. You know, I kind of had just gotten involved in conversation and wasn't really thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, everything is going to come out at this point, and it's probably going to get nastier. I don't even want to confess that, but, I mean, that's probably just the way it is.
Well, because the left just loves stuff like this. Are you kidding me? I mean, they're just all exercised, and they're foaming at the mouth. I mean, this is good fun for them. You know, you brought up a couple of times this Michelle Fields deal and Lewandowski, Corey Lewandowski. Trump, here's Trump, a businessman, you know, and this is the deal. You try to mitigate the negatives, and the best time to mitigate the negatives is early on. In fact, we had a missionary on a while ago. I had an official Bill Martinez Live T-shirt done up with this African proverb. It says, bar mit kolo. You want to beat the fire. It's an African proverb. It says, beat the fire while it's far off, right? And
right,
so Donald Trump needs this. He needs to beat the fire when it's far off. He doesn't need to wait for it to come into the camp and ignite everything. And in beating the fire on the way off, you know, while it was at a distance with Michelle Fields was simple. He could have made a personal phone call to her. It would have taken him 5 minutes max. And, hey, I'm sorry this happened. You know, whole deal. You know, is there something I do? You had a question. Can I mean, forget about the fact that she, you know, she blew by two, you know, security agents, which, you know, that's a problem in and of itself, right? Okay, so she disobeys them. Forget about that. And she goes after, and she's in a crowd. And, you know, we've been in situations like that. You get pushed around. You know, you get I mean, I've got knocked in the head by cameras, you know, in the whole deal. You got to be, you got to be on your toes. Yeah, so, and then there's, you know, all this other stuff, and you try to do the justification dance of, you know, conservatives showing, well, look what Rahm Emanuel did. You know, look who, you know, when they were, you know, handling, you know, for Barack Obama and all this other stuff. It's like, no, come on, you know, stop it. It gets to be silly. It's almost like that, like the other night when Trump was talking about it, and Anderson Cooper goes, you sound like a five-year-old.
Right.
I mean, that's hysterical.
That's what people are thinking. However, I don't know that a phone call from him with Michelle Fields would have done the trick. I'm not sure that that would have snuffed this out.
Hey, I'll bet you a mint julep it would. It would have.
Really?
Oh, without a doubt. It's simple. Because the thing is, guys like that, when they're in that position, you know, they're in a power position. They carry with them a lot of charm, a lot of power, a lot of authority, and it goes. And Lauren, you know, we've worked for people, and we had bosses. If our bosses came to us and said, "Hey, Lauren, you know what? You did a great show today. It was awesome." You know, that would make your day. I mean, and given the choice between that and a raise, you'd probably accept, you know, the compliment almost as much, or you'd probably want both because you're a both kind of girl.
I'm a lot to keep up. That would be hard for me to choose between the two of those. I just got to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't sure where she was coming from. I think none of us really know, you know, exactly what her heart was and all that. Maybe a phone call would have helped, but he's just not used to being in these situations. That's what we're seeing over and over again. But then, to me, for Cruz to come out and say, "Oh well, you know, this is how Donald is," I'm just like, enough.
Well, they're trying to bury each other.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, exactly what you said. They're all in a tent shooting at each other, and we're all going, okay, one of you has to come out of here. You know,
exactly.
I mean, so there's got to be somebody left, but unless it ends up being, what, Paul Ryan, isn't that the latest?
Oh, Lord have mercy. What a mess that would be. I mean, if it goes into something like, this is crazy. Well, you know, the thing is, hey, you might as well blow it all up. And I've been saying, if we've ever been in a position where we should, you know, we could open things up to a third party, it is now. You imagine this. Here's the scenario. I mean, the Democrats are thinking, you know, they're chuckling, thinking everything's all good for them. Well, the FBI, hello, is taking measurements.
Investigation.
They're taking measurements for an orange jumpsuit right now for their leading candidate. And now if all hell breaks loose over there, you got all the craziness with the Republicans, as Dr. Ben Carson admits to. It's like, okay, let's start a third party here, you know? And I think, Lauren, I said this early on. I think I would not be surprised if the candidate that wins, ultimately, the general campaign, does so with less than 35% of the vote. Because this thing could be cut up and bifurcated so much so that it's going to be crazy. But, hey, you got to love this stuff. It gives us a lot to talk about. And meanwhile, we can, you know, enjoy Shani. And tell Shani that bug that you had is now on her.
Is now on her. I'm going to do that as soon as we get off. You guys have a wonderful April Fool's Day.
Hey, why not?
Have a great weekend.
Hey, say goodnight, Lucy.
Goodnight, Lucy. Love you guys.
Hey, love you back. Lauren Kitchen Stewart, Life with Lauren on Bill Martinez Live. It's just about 2 minutes before the top of the hour.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
75 years ago, America suffered one of the worst moments in American history, the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now you can remember December 7th, 1941, with the purchase of the first ever 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-490-3200 right now
for the official 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor Legal Tender Gold Coin from the U.S. Money Reserve, the only company authorized to distribute these 100% solid gold coins. Remember Pearl Harbor with this limited official gold release. 1-800-490-3200 or online at usmoneyreserve.com.